When I was a student in rabbinical school, I was a research assistant for the dean of the school, Rabbi Gordon Tucker. And I remember he once made an observation to me after he sat Shiva for the death of his parent. He said, "You know, I decided," and this is when he was dean, "I decided that because it was Shiva, I really was going to do it properly. I was not going to answer my phone. I was not going to check in at the office. I was going to devote that time to sitting Shiva. If people came, I wasn't going to ask them what was going on at the seminary. I really was going to seclude myself." And the moment Shiva ended, he said, "Of course, the first thing I did was pick up the phone and call my office," he said. "And you know, I was astonished to discover that everything was fine." And he realized, he told me, that part of sitting Shiva is to prepare you for the day when the world will be without you as well. It's to teach you that we are all dispensable. That one day you will be gone and the world will survive your loss. And that, in a way, helps you to understand that you can survive the loss of the person that you loved as well, because it is the way of the world and will happen to you. I had thought of that lesson for years. I thought of it when my own father passed away. And then I read something about Sukkot from Rabbi Norman Lamb, who used to be the head of Yeshiva University, that reverses this in a beautiful way. He said, "You know, most people think of Sukkot as the holiday in which you learn to get along without your possessions. You go out into the sukkah, you don't have your beautiful home. It teaches you the temporariness of everything we build and everything we own." He said, "But really, if you observe Sukkot the way our ancestors did, and you really live in the sukkah, and you eat in the sukkah, and you sleep in the sukkah," he said, "it teaches you also the opposite lesson. Not just that you can get along without your possessions, but that everything else can get along without you too. You're in the sukkah for a week, but guess what? When you come back from the sukkah, the world is still there. And it's still okay." And he said, "The beauty of it is that in Shiva you learned that lesson through loss. But on Sukkot, you learn it through Zman Simchatenu. You understand that you can learn the lesson of your own dispensability through joy as well as through pain, through Simcha as well as through loss, and that there is something beautiful about it and joyous about it, about the knowledge that the world can absorb the loss and that you, as a mourner, remember the people who are gone." I wanted to add to that one other element that seems to be beautifully integrated with the idea that we do Yizkor now. The first night of Sukkot, last Wednesday night, we did something that we have never done before. All of the clergy got together and we invited some young people to the sukkah on Pilot Plaza, and we did an ushpizin ceremony. That is a ceremony in which ushpizin is the Aramaic word for guests. And you may know that it is traditional on Sukkot, each night you invite different guests from our history to the sukkah. So the first night you invite Abraham and Sarah, for example. And I thought that also has a beautiful resonance for Yizkor. Because when you do Yizkor, what you're doing really is you're inviting the guests of your past back to be with you again. Just as we invite the Ushpizin into the Sukkah. To teach us what they had to teach us, to remind us of their influence on our lives, to renew our connection to them, and also our promise to live better because they touched our lives. The same thing we do with the Ushpizin when they come into the Sukkah. We remember the lessons of Abraham and Sarah. We invite them back into our lives, and we promise to live better because they are our ancestors. So you do the same with the Yizkor service. You remember and you resolve because you were lucky enough to have these wonderful, beautiful people in your life at the same time as you understand that you can continue to live even though they're no longer there. So what it teaches us, the Ushpizin, especially, the idea that they come back into our lives, is we can greet those who are gone, especially because we now understand, and Yizkor reminds us, that one day we will join them, and we too will be invited back in memory, because the world will go on, God willing. Our friends, our children, our grandchildren, those whom we love, will remember us, will learn our lessons, and will also remember that we remembered, that we learned the lessons of those who went before us. And the chain of Yizkor, the chain of memory, will continue as it has throughout the generations.